This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We're going to get into who you should be paying attention to and watching out for tonight, week four of the NFL preseason. The Bills hosting the Vikings, a game you can hear right here on ESPN Rochester. And on the sidelines for that game, Sal Capaccio, good with his time and joining us now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Sal, how are you today?
Excellent, guys. It's already at the stadium. It's beautiful weather. It's a good day for football.
Yeah. What are you most excited to watch tonight here, Sal? Because, yes, a lot of people will be down on this game, but it is NFL football.
Well, you know, from a couple of different perspectives, I'm excited to see Tyree Jackson get what I think is going to be a full football game. You know, I think Tyree is fighting to show that he belongs on an NFL roster somewhere, or at least a practice squad somewhere. I don't think he's going to make the Bills 53-man roster. He might. Like the Bills practice squad, he might not, but either way, he's auditioning for 32 teams here tonight. Really, a lot of these guys are. I'm excited to see that for him. I'd like to see him play better than he has. He's only completing 33% of his passes through preseason, so let's see what he can do here with a full game against a third-string defense for the Minnesota Vikings. But, you know, from a roster standpoint, wide receiver is still a really good battle for me, and I think we're going to get a look at guys that are really scratching and clawing to fight to find their way onto this roster. And we're talking about Duke Williams, Ray McLeod, Isaiah McKenzie. I think those guys might be fighting for one spot when it's all said and done, maybe two. I still think there's a bit of a question on what's going on with Zay Jones, considering all the reps he got last week. I don't expect him to play a lot tonight. The reason is, too, it's not because, you know, people think, a lot of times, guys, people think, well, if they don't play tonight, that means they're on the roster. Not necessarily the case. A lot of times guys won't play because the coaching staff in the front office just kind of know who they are, right? They know what their ceiling is. They know they've gotten a good read on them. They need to see other guys, so you know they don't want to risk that other guy going out there because they already know what he can do.
So where are you on Zay, Sal? What kind of a camp has he had? What kind of a preseason has he had? Because you mentioned the added reps in Detroit, and I think that sent a lot of Bills fans wondering about what Zay's future with his team is. And then you have his mom cryptically tweeting today. I don't want to read too much into what a player's mom does, but it certainly has people talking about Zay Jones going into cutdown day on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, his mom and dad, I know they love him really a lot, obviously. They're son, but you know, I think sometimes they do more harm than good, you know, with the way they act on social media when it comes to Zay. And his mom's doing him no favors, and now she protects her tweets and all that. And I saw that last night, and I generally try not to read too much into that stuff either. You never know what someone's trying to say with something, but it does draw attention to it. And then on the heels of last week's, you know, reps that he got well into the third quarter, he was out there with the twos the entire time. And I think he's had an inconsistent camp. But here's the thing again. Zay is who Zay is. I don't think you're going to get him kind of at a ceiling, I would think. I don't really expect much of him to get, you know, a ton better than he is. I don't think he's a bad football player. I mean, he led this team in touchdowns last year. You know, he caught the ball much better last year than he did his rookie year. But I think that if you're looking from a roster standpoint of maybe you have somebody that you think you has a higher ceiling and he's younger and you can get more out of him in the long run, maybe you sacrifice a little bit for 2019 to make sure that player's on your roster because you're going to get more going forward out of him under a 3-4 year contract than Zay Jones, who's on this team for two more years, who you think already might be at his ceiling.
Sal, I'd love to get your perspective on this because you do have that perspective being a reporter now, but you were once a coach. And before you came on, Danger and I were talking about, boy, you know, like at what point does a parent grow out of these things? And I guess if you're a youth parent or a youth coach right now and you have to deal with a parent, then you look up, well, I guess they have to deal with this sort of thing at the NFL level sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of weird, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, Zay's parents aren't young necessarily, but we're getting to the point now in 2019 where a lot of parents are even people who grew up in the social media age, right? I mean, that's kind of, you know, what the difference is, I think, between maybe years ago and now between athletes even is they can talk on social media, they can get their message across on social media, they can interact with people. And I think that now we're seeing even, you know, older people, parents of those people getting involved in that kind of stuff as well. And again, it's not something I think the Bills want to deal with or have draw attention to. I don't think it's something any team wants to, but it's the reality of the world we live in. So you have to, and I don't think you can punish the kid. You obviously don't want to do that, or the way his parents might behave on social media or elsewhere, or things they say. But at the same time, I think you have to somehow get the message to them, whether through they in this case or, you know, somebody else. You have to get the message to them, maybe directly, that, hey, you're not helping your son here. Like, you're hurting his career maybe more than helping it by doing these things and having him have to answer about it and focus on it instead of just going out and playing football.
Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines tonight for the Bills and the Vikings from New Era Field. He's joining us now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. You mentioned Duke Williams. We'll be looking at him tonight under the jeweler's eye. I've seen some 53-man roster projections that have the Bills carrying seven wide receivers with Duke Williams making this team. Sal, what do you think the fate of Duke Williams is come Saturday?
It's so hard. I think it's 50-50 for me. I really, every time I think he's going to make it, then I find a reason why I don't think he's done it. Every time I don't think he's done, I find a reason why he's done it. It really may come down to what we just talked about. Maybe they decide to in some way move on from Zay Jones, whether it's a trade or some sort of scenario, and they say that's because we want to make room for a guy like Duke Williams who can offer us a lot of the same things, which is, you know, blocking well in the running game, has a bigger body, is a good red zone target, stuff like that. Maybe that's what you do. Look, I think Duke Williams has done everything asked of him, especially the last 2 weeks. He did have a slow start to camp. He did have to figure it out a little bit here at the NFL game compared to, you know, coming from the CFL. But the last 2 weeks, he's done everything you could ask. And if he doesn't make this team, it's not because of that. You know, it's not because he didn't do what was asked of him. And we'll see what he can do tonight. You know, his advantage is he offers something this team doesn't have, which is a bigger-bodied wide receiver that can be a threat in the red zone. And that's exactly what he showed the last 2 weeks. The problem he has is, though, A, he does nothing extremely special as far as his speed, his elusiveness, you know, the ability to separate and get open. Those things matter in the NFL. But also, he's not a guy you're going to keep because of special teams. Now, can he play special teams? Sure, you can throw him out there. He played, I think, 10 snaps in special teams last week. But you keep him because of a wide receiver and then say, oh, by the way, since you're on the bottom of the roster, you got to play special teams. He's not a guy, though, that says, you know what? He's not as we want a wide receiver, but we can afford it because he plays a good role on special teams. And that's going to hurt him in the end when it comes down to it.
Sal, I'd love to get your thoughts here on the back end of the running back situation. I'm going to lump in also Patrick DeMarco in here. Patrick DeMarco, is he safe in your opinion? And that last spot, and I'm going to say it just from my perspective, is it Yeldon versus Perry? Perry not being on the field, how much, if at all, did that hurt him this week?
Well, I'll tell you this. I think, I don't know where the... I this could come back to bite me by saying it because I could be totally wrong, but I don't know where everybody thinks Patrick DeMarco is not safe on this team. I mean, I've been hearing that for a long time, and I'm the first person to jump out and say, there's nothing to suggest that he shouldn't. I think what happens is people just think what they would do. Well, I wouldn't have Patrick DeMarco. Well, that's great, but that you're not running the football team. And I'll tell you, the people running the football team, he's very valuable to them. He is a core special teamer. He lines up all over the field on offense. Especially with the tight end injuries and especially going with young tight ends, they've had him kind of learning the tight end spot. He kind of plays an H-back role, but every single day that since training camp started, everything that I've seen is he's on the field a lot. And then, by the way, he's a big special teams guy. So, I don't know, people always talk about it, and I wonder where they're getting it from other than their own opinion that he shouldn't be on the team. There's a big difference between, well, I don't think he should be on the team versus what will the Bills do? The Bills have no intention of not having Patrick DeMarco here as far as I'm concerned, and if I'm wrong, I'll eat that because I've been on that saying that. Now, T.J. Yeldon, I expect him to be dressed tonight, but I don't expect him to necessarily play unless they need him to, and that is because they're only going to go into this game really with two healthy running backs, and that is Marcus Murphy and Christian Wade. It's really going to be, you know, kind of those guys running the football, I would think, because the other three are going to not play because they're going to be mainstays on your team this year, LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, and Devin Singletary. And I do think Sonoris Perry's injury hurts him. He hasn't been on the field. To me, he was a lock to make this roster up until a couple of weeks ago, simply because he was this year's Tywan Jones, meaning doesn't matter what position he plays, he is a special teamer we need. But now, I mean, T.J. Yeldon's been playing for special teams, guys, and he does offer more in the offensive game than than Snorris Perry. So I think right now I would probably put T.J. Yeldon a little ahead of Snorris Perry as far as chances to make this roster. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they keep five and then including Spencer DeMarco make six. They did that 2 years ago, and then they wound up getting rid of Jonathan Williams after all the cuts were made a few days later.
Sal, what about tight end? We talk about injuries hurting a player's chance making the team. Where does Jason Kroom stand, and how do you see tight end as a position for the Bills looking like Saturday after 4 o'clock?
I think Jason Kroom's in trouble. I think that this is, to me, it should be easier than what people are making it out. Now, it might not be, but to me, it should be easier, the tight end. Here's exactly the way I think it should play out and how it very well could play out, which is I think Tyler Kroft starts the year on PUP, so he'll wind up missing 6 weeks. And then they can decide what they want to do with him after that. I think Tommy Sweeney and Dawson Knox have done enough for this team to, you know, be on the roster. Obviously, you know, their draft picks they like, they're young guys. You know, Dawson had the injury, but, you know, they drafted in middle rounds. He's not going anywhere. I think Tommy Sweeney really acclimated himself well once he did get, you know, on the field. So I think those two guys are here. I think Lee Smith is on this team because of his blocking ability. So there's your three: Lee Smith, Tommy Sweeney, Dawson Knox. And that, to me, leaves Jason Kroom out. I just don't see there's a fit for him, especially what I just said about Patrick DeMarco, how you can kind of move him around and do some things. You could make the case to keep Jason Kroom, but to me, Tyler Kroft is your fourth, quote-unquote, tight end, but he'll start the year on PUP, and then you can decide what to do after 6 weeks of seeing what these guys offer and seeing where he is health-wise.
Seems like on the defensive side of the ball, it's a little easier here with, and unfortunately for Mike Love, that helped in that situation. But on the back end, one player I want to ask you about is Captain Munnerlyn. Did he show you enough, Sal, or is his name something, knowing the familiarity of the assignments in this defense and whatnot, going to earn him a spot?
You know, I don't know. That's a tough one. He's right there on the bubble, I think. I think they got to see, if they see enough, I think they like Lafayette Pitts as that fourth outside corner. You know, you have Trey White and you have Levi Wallace. You have Kevin Johnson on the outside who can also play the slot, but let's call him an outside guy. And then you have Taron Johnson as your nickel, and then you have Saran Neal as your big nickel who can kind of play a different role for you there. So you got one spot, I think, left. And that guy, to me, has to be a special teams guy. And Lafayette Pitts has been a good special teams player, and he's also had a good preseason. He's made some nice pass breakups. But, you know, Captain Munnerlyn could very well have a say in this when it's all said and done because they might want that extra experience, a guy that, you know, can play both slot and outside. Denzel Rice, I think, is still in the mix. I think Ryan Lewis is still in the mix. And then I really think Cam Lewis was in the mix, but he's in the concussion protocol. Kid from UB, you know, went off the field a couple of weeks ago in Carolina, wasn't able to play, you know, against Detroit and probably not tonight as well. So that hurts him, obviously. But I think Lafayette Pitts has a bit of a leg up, even on Captain Munnerlyn, but I think that's a very close race for that spot.
And Sal, I know another player that you're going to be watching tonight, and you can read Sal's four players to watch tonight, the Vikings and the Bills here on ESPN Rochester. Corey Bohorquez hasn't had a great preseason, and just because one punter got released doesn't mean that Bohorquez is going to be the team's punter week one. Is Bohorquez, is tonight really the final opportunity he has to make this team? Will the Bills actually go out and find a punter that isn't on their roster right now to be their week one starter if needed?
You know, I think of all the people on this roster tonight, I think Corey Bohorquez might have the biggest, if he plays well, he's on the team. If he doesn't, he's not, that type of situation. This could be all or nothing for him tonight. Let's remember, the Buffalo Bills claimed Corey Bohorquez last year off waivers after they'd already kept Colton Schmidt. So the Bills aren't opposed to getting rid of all their punters, essentially, and picking a new one up, you know, in the waiver wire. They wouldn't release one until they pick one up, but they're not opposed to doing that. That's what they did last year, and he has been inconsistent. He hasn't been great this preseason. When they released Corey Carter, a lot of my media colleagues even wrote, well, it looks like Bohorquez won the punting competition. Not to me, he didn't. Now, he may have beaten out Corey Carter because Corey Carter had an injury and they decided to move on, but he still has to prove himself tonight, and if he has a good game tonight, that could put him on the roster. If he doesn't, they may say, we're just going to go on the waiver wire and find somebody better.
Sal, how does this work then the next 48 hours following tonight? Like, we all have the image of the, you know, days of yesteryear where, hey, bring your playbook, knock on the door, and the Turk, as they call them, would come out. But that now you have the one cutdown day, but is the team required to go back in? Do they get a phone call? How does this all work?
First of all, you know your buddy John Kutschko out there in Rochester, he used to be a Turk. You know that, right? He
was for the Patriots, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, right, to think about that. A good guy out there in the media. But so as far as I know, if you've watched any of, like, Hard Knocks the last few years, kind of how they do it, which is, you know, cell phones, they'll basically call a guy and say, hey, you know, come on in, bring your playbook. You know, it's not necessarily a knock on the door. It's a phone call. These guys will tell them to come on in. They'll understand the situation, and they'll have a conversation with them and say, we're going to release you. And those are one-on-one conversations. Sean McDermott will, and Brandon Bean, they will have those conversations with each player as they release them and say, this is why we're releasing you, and, you know, good luck or whatever. And those are tough conversations to have. McDermott has said that. You know, what I find fascinating is how all the mechanics of it work from a team standpoint, a roster building standpoint between now and really by Sunday at noon, because they have to do that, release guys, then be down to 53 by Saturday at 4 p.m. We'll probably have the official word sometime after that. Well, then they have to have, then they see all everybody else around the league who's releasing their guys, and they have to have their waiver claims in by 12 noon on Sunday. And the Bills have the ninth waiver spot. So Arizona has the first. They have it goes in the draft order right now up until week three. If Arizona, no matter how many guys they put in, they're going to get. If Arizona says 20 guys you want, they get them all. Because it doesn't reset. They get the first priority with every pick. But they're not going to do that. The problem is you have to put each guy you pick up on your active 53-man roster. So I would say the Bills will probably claim one or two guys, maybe three. Like, that's about what you probably get. They claimed two last year, Borquez and Ryan Lewis. And what Brandon Bean does, and this is really cool, he assigns each one of his staff members to essentially be the GM of a team. And he's been doing this for about a week or so now, at least a week. And they've been going through exercises, mock release, mock cut exercises, if you will. And they've been looking at each roster. They've been watching games. They've been scouting. They've been reading reports. And reporters like me or who else around the country in those markets saying who is going to make the roster, who isn't. And therefore, they have they kind of have a plan in place on who they expect to make each team and where they might go with their waiver claims. So it's kind of fascinating how they do this, that they've already been preparing themselves by actually going through that exercise with each team.
Sal, I'm curious as to how the week of practice went for Mitch Morse. If you can give us an update on his status and whether or not how he's progressed in concussion protocol. Will we be seeing him week one? And we haven't had a chance to talk after Josh Allen's performance week three in Detroit. You know, I know me personally, I can't get the vision of the horrible across the body throw that he made. Thank God it was in the preseason, a game that didn't matter. Also, the head first slide while scrambling. I'm thinking, man, if you're going to make these mistakes, make them in the preseason.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's start with Mitch Morse. I mean, he is still in concussion protocol. However, even if you're in concussion protocol, you're allowed to practice. There are certain things that you aren't able to do, but pretty much at his stage, it seems like he's able to do almost everything, except he still has to clear that final test. And he might be able to do even everything in practice, but the reason why he's allowed to be out there is really what it is. If he has to clear one final test before he can be cleared, and my assumption is, and I don't know this, based on the way he's been at practice and 11-on-11 and all that, is that if there was a game, a real game this week, he would be cleared to play. I don't know that, but I think the way it's trending, but they can slow play. They have no reason to have to clear him for tonight. He's not going to play tonight.
Right.
So you might as well give him even another week, right, to pass that final test. I think that's the whole idea behind why this is taking so long. But he has been out there. He has been practicing. He's been their starting center, you know, at practice, but he still is in concussion protocol. The second part of that is Josh Allen, and yeah, he can't be acting like he's Brett Favre. He can't be doing that. And that's pretty much, you know, the type of throw we saw last year at inopportune time, that he made that decision. He did that. Now, I'll say he gave a little clue as to why after the press in the post-game press conference, and I'm not excusing him, but I understand where his brain is going when he says this, because, hey, I knew I wasn't going to throw that much. We're going to kind of be run heavy tonight going in, so I just wanted to make a play and throw the ball. And that's what he tried to do, but you can't do that, man. You got to know when to and when not to. Preseason or regular season, doesn't matter.
Bills and Vikings coming up 5 p.m. for the pregame coverage, and you'll hear Sal on the sidelines tonight. Sal, really appreciate your time on this game day. Have fun tonight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio, always good with his time joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Love having Sal on a game day and getting a little glimpse as to what we could be watching tonight.
Yeah, so, and again, he's if you missed that, you'll hear him tonight as well. Again, 5 o'clock for the pregame. We've got a lot to get to. We've got the story out of Miami, too.
Yeah, we got to get to this. Yeah. We've got other NFL stories that are happening throughout the course of the day. We've got a a little bit more color in the Jadeveon Clowney trade talks. A little bit more color of what's going on in Washington with Trent Williams. The Colts are bringing in a bunch of stiffs to potentially be a backup quarterback for Jacoby Brissett weeks 1 and 2.
Till your guy takes over.
That's right.
As the backup.
That's right.
Watch, he'll get cut.
Gene, nobody cares when I'm right. I can be right and it won't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm okay. I believe what I believe, and I'll just leave it at that. But we'll talk about who's coming in to Indianapolis to compete for the backup. Who's going to be the clipboard holder for Jacoby Brissett for a couple of weeks there? That's all coming up more. And yes, this Miami story. Dysfunction. How do you spell dysfunction? M-I-A-M-I. It's on the way next. NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We go around the league with the top stories of the day next on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.